It's my privilege this morning to introduce you to my pastor. Elder Williams comes to us by the way of Apopka, Florida, but Elder Williams is a North Carolina boy. He was born right here in North Carolina, up near Pisgah, I guess it was. And of course, this is home. This is home for him. I'm sure that you're going to see a lot more of Elder Askell as the years go by. He's your humble servant, and I know that he will be a blessing to us today. God bless you, Askell, as you minister to us this morning. And you will have the benediction.
Okay. It is a privilege to be here with you this Sabbath. It was, what, about 3 weeks ago that you showed me the church and the new location that you're moving to. In fact, I drove past that this morning and thought specifically of your plans as I drove in here this morning.
Right. Are you going to stand down there?
Yes.
Because I'm going to put this...
All right. So I encourage you in that project, and as you take the steps of faith, God is going to bless you. I have seen the mighty things that God can do. As you and I step forward, it is not our abilities for officers. It is not my ability as a pastor or working with the conference. It is what we allow God to do in and through us. And this morning, I want us to think about that in a specific way. Do you know what Jesus needed most? Let's bow our heads as we think about this. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you, as our great God, have promised to supply our every need. This morning we want to consider that greatest need. Speak to our hearts, I pray, through your word, not ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you know what Jesus considered his greatest need when he was here on this earth? He sought it through prayer. Yes, and he needed specific help to do his Father's will. Jesus' need was to have the Holy Spirit. Do a favor, no, just join me, if you will. Take a breath and hold it. I'm going to try not to breathe while I'm participating with you. But do you know how long we could continue this? Some of you have already given up. We can't. We need to breathe. God created us this way. We are dependent on the oxygen we receive coming into our lungs, going across that barrier in our lungs, the villi, taken in by our blood to the finest areas of our tissues, the tips of our fingers, our brain. God knew we needed oxygen. And what would happen if we don't get it? We would die. The same is true spiritually when it relates to our life without the Spirit. In fact, the name Spirit means wind. We need spiritual breath. We need the Holy Spirit. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. I was looking this week. It's very interesting that it was a spiritual battle that Jesus fought. But it was interesting to me to note that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit when he came as a human being. He was baptized by the Holy Spirit there beside the Jordan River. He was led by the Holy Spirit throughout his life, but specifically into the wilderness to pray. The Holy Spirit was on him, according to the prophecy in Isaiah. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's how he cast out demons. His speaking was by the Holy Spirit. The things that he said were by the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, Luke 4 tells us. He was commissioned by the Holy Spirit, Luke 4 tells us. Everything that he did, every moment of his life, was by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, he sends to us as his personal representative. Yes. Now, Wilhelmina, you didn't know that when I was going to share this, that we'd be talking about along some of the same things. Sally Alexander is blind. Her eyes quit working. She can't see. She has a guide. Now, I'm not talking about her husband, Bob. She has her dog, Marit. Marit is her constant companion wherever she goes. She is dependent on that guide dog to help her with her children. She trained with Marit, her German Shepherd guide, whom she got in October of 1978. Now, she doesn't still have him. She had to get a replacement when Marit passed away. But he was a large German Shepherd dog, 80 pounds, and pretty headstrong as dogs go, testing her every minute for their first 6 weeks together. In the training program that she was a part of so that she knew what to do and how to lead and how to follow her dog, Marit didn't want to stop at the streets. That's a little bit dangerous. Marit didn't give proper clearance so that as they would go through an opening, the dog would go through, but she would end up bumping the edge of the doorway, sometimes hitting her hip on telephone poles and door jams and walls. Now, Sally disciplined Marit so often that at some points when they came to an opening, Marit would just lie down when they came to a doorway or something. But after about 2 weeks in Pittsburgh, Marit learned to give enough clearance space and became an excellent guide for Sally. Now, why am I saying this? Marit also saved Sally's life. On the way home one day, Marit suddenly shoved her backside into Sally, pushing her backwards, and just as Sally scolded her, she heard a car skidding and charging right up the driveway where she was located. Sally ran toward the empty street, following Marit's lead, and though the car brushed her and knocked her down, it did not run over her, as would have been the case had she not listened to the guidance of Marit. Now, this analogy fails in that Marit had to be trained But once he was, he became an excellent guide and a lifesaver for Sally. You and I need the guidance of the Holy Spirit day by day. We don't even know the things we're about to get into. Jesus repeatedly said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." Jesus was the Helper, the Comforter, and as he got ready to go back to his Father, he said, "I will send you another Comforter. It's imperative that I go so that I can send him to you. He will not only be with you, he will be in you," Jesus said. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Of all the gifts given to mankind by God, none is greater than the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is Christ's personal representative to his church here. Do we ask for the Holy Spirit? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands right now. Do we ask for the Holy Spirit each day? He is to be the guarantee that Christ will return, who also has sealed in us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. What does the Holy Spirit do in the Christian's life? The Holy Spirit has a multifunctional role. In fact, it's almost difficult to list everything. We're going to take at least a strong survey from Scripture. Included in the responsibilities that Jesus outlined for the Holy Spirit that he would be helping us with, the first is he would convict us of guilt. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, John 16, verses 7 through 11 tells us. Specifically, verse 8. Now, I don't mean he just stands around wagging his finger at you. You shouldn't do that. He teaches us so that in our own hearts we know right and wrong. He leads us so that we don't go in specific areas, as Wilhelmina was saying. He gives us a new desire for right that he plants in our hearts without a word being spoken. A second responsibility of the Holy Spirit is that he testifies of Christ. He is Christ's emissary to us, his personal representative. John 15, verse 26 tells us, "But when the Helper, Comforter, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." There's a very interesting passage that Paul includes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's in the third verse. He says, "No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." It's the Holy Spirit who testifies that Jesus is the Messiah, and he works in our hearts to be able to recognize him. Apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, the Bible is just a collection of data. It is the Holy Spirit who breathes life so that we understand and can live it. He makes conversion and the new birth possible because he changes our heart. You remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? "Unless you are born again, born of water and of the Spirit, you will not see the kingdom of heaven." That which is of the flesh, the here, is fleshly. That which is from above, the Spirit, Number three, the Holy Spirit will teach believers. We referenced this a little bit earlier. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will teach you things to come. John 16, verse 13. And if you notice, John chapter 14, 15, and 16 is a large area of teaching about the Holy Spirit. Better than any textbook that we might have, He fills in the story. He explains it. He brings it to life. Have you ever been in a class, you read the textbook, and it didn't make sense, but the teacher who had experienced it just brought it all to life? The Holy Spirit can bring spiritual values to life for us. Number four, He will remind us of Jesus' teaching. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew you'd been taught, but you couldn't remember exactly what it was, and somebody said, "Here's what it is," and it brought it all back to mind? That's part of the work of the Holy Spirit, is to bring to mind the things that Jesus has taught. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, will bring to your remembrance the things I said to you, Jesus said in John 14, verse 26. It's not just a reminder string around the finger. He is helping us to live it. He brings the story to life. He makes it real in our own personal experience. And it's not just the things that happen to others. It is a living, vibrant experience in our own life. Number five, and this is what is so precious. He takes up residence in our heart. God's original desire was not to have a huge sanctuary where everybody could come on Sabbath morning. We get the clearest picture in Isaiah chapter 57, where God, speaking through Isaiah, says, "I dwell in the high and holy place," Isaiah 57:15, "with him also that is of a humble and contrite spirit." Jesus' favorite place to live, God's favorite place to live, is in our hearts, the temple that we yield to Him. 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you." I know that behind this screen is a banner about a new church you're building. Even more important than that building, and I'm not detracting from that, more important than that is that you and I yield our lives as temples for the Holy Spirit to live. That's what He needs. That's what He longs for. More than just memory and the mechanics of it, and I know that's not an accurate illustration, He is our resident teacher, our resident motivator, our resident counselor, our resident tour guide through life. Have you ever been somewhere and a tour guide took you around and pointed out aspects of the site you were seeing, brought the history and the story of what was there, and made it just come to life? That's what the Holy Spirit longs to do in your life and mine as we go through life. He will help and bless and guide. Number six, and we made reference to this a little bit in the preceding one, John 14, verse 16, He acts as a counselor and a guide to Christians. "But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things." He is our counselor. We can talk to God about everything that affects our life. John 16, verse 13, "When the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth." How many of you have one of these? I've got one that's resident on my phone, and I will tell you, this morning, I plugged in the address 217 Gregg Avenue, Aiken. And if you'll look, it showed me how to get here this morning. Yes. It worked. It worked. The Holy Spirit wants to be a guide for us. And He will lead us. I want to tell you just a wee story here. Pastor Al mentioned about Apopka, Florida, and that was the church in which I served as pastor last. We built a new sanctuary on the same plan, not equal giving, but equal sacrifice. And it was indeed a sacrifice. We got to the point where we were ready to put up our sign. And do any of you know what backflow preventers are? I see a couple of hands. In most backflow preventers are required now in most municipalities so that the water from inside your house doesn't flow back into the main system. That way it keeps the water pure and uncontaminated. And it's one thing, most of them are an inch, maybe an inch and a half, a pipe coming into the house, and a bush will nicely camouflage that and look nice. But because of the size of our building, we had to have a major fire supply. There were sprinklers throughout the building, first and second floor, and there were the pipe coming in was a 10-inch pipe that came up with a large backflow preventer and went back into the ground before coming up. That, along with the regular one for our plumbing. So we wanted to hide that a little bit, and it was my thought that if we put our sign as a kind of a flying V, it'd hide that. Only we learned that if we did that, the city ordinance reduced the amount of signage that we could do by half. It was treated like two separate signs. Okay, back to the drawing board. We tried it as just, for visibility, just a little bit of a wedge. Give up the idea of hiding the backflow preventer. We bid it out, and they wanted $22,000 because of an irregular shape. And we said, that won't work. We didn't have that to, at finishing the church, we didn't have that to sit around. Finally, we settled on a more simple design, and Leroy bid on it. And when he bid, our committee said, Leroy, you've bid too low. You cannot put it together for that. And there were a number of challenges that we went through. That's just the beginning. But finally, it was about done. And from where we were, down to walk from the office down to the street, was about 0.2 mile. When it was about finished, Leroy came up to the office and he said, Pastor, I'd like for you to come and look at it. We're finishing up here. So we were walking up the hill around the church to get down to where the sign was, and the Holy Spirit said to me, are you ready? And I knew what was coming next. Leroy was going to ask a question, and I knew what the question was. And sure enough, we hadn't taken two or three steps, and Leroy said, Pastor, I want to ask you a question. Most of the churches around here go to church on Sunday. Why do you go on Saturday? Now, I had no way of knowing that that was coming, and no way to be prepared for it, except that the Holy Spirit is our counselor and our guide. We look at the instances in Christ's life when he was encountering specific things, when he encountered the woman at the well, and he said to her, "Go and get your husband," and she said, "I don't have a husband." And he said, "You're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five, and the one you're with is not your husband." Now, how would he know that? It was by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because he was filled by the Holy Spirit. He had laid aside those divine prerogatives of omniscience and omnipotence and all of that. He was relying on the Holy Spirit, just as you and I must rely on the Holy Spirit. When Nathanael is brought to Jesus, and he's asking a question, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Jesus speaks to him about seeing him under the fig tree praying. How could he know that except by the Holy Spirit? It is the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Furthermore, he is a guarantee that Christ is coming back. He is a promise. He is the earnest or down payment that is given to us as a promise that Jesus is coming back. Better than that, it's like an engagement ring. The assurance that Jesus is coming back for the wedding. The Holy Spirit is all that. And now, as a lead into this afternoon, number 8, the Holy Spirit produces fruit in our life. Galatians chapter 5. He produces the essential character fruit in our life, the fruit of the Spirit, and they are listed there. And love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are produced in our life by the Holy Spirit. You and I need these, or we would be ornery cusses. I'm serious. You might say, "Well, I'm a nice person. I don't do this and do that." It's the Holy Spirit who makes you that way. Thank Him. These are the products of the Holy Spirit taking up residence in our lives. They are evidence that we are in fellowship with Him. These are His fruit. Now, somebody has said, I can't say if this is accurate or not, it's worth considering, that the fruit of the Spirit is, and the reason it is fruit, not fruits, the fruit of the Spirit is love, as illustrated in joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I can't say for sure that that's the way that it is, but it's certainly worth considering. These are essential character traits who are promised to us by God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Number 9, and this is the last on our list, to provide gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 and so forth. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Keep that in mind. Distributing to each one individually as He wills. That's what the Holy Spirit tells us. This role of the Holy Spirit is gift giver. In 1 Corinthians 12 and in other places, we find a list of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to believers in order that they may function in the body of Christ. What difference does this mean to me? What does it matter to me? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one, each believer. How many believers are in this room this morning? 40? 50? The Holy Spirit gives to each one what He deems best, as He wills, a gift. You have been given a spiritual gift. That is a gift of the Spirit. Why do we need these spiritual gifts? Well, that's a topic for this afternoon seminar, so I'm going to ask that you come back for that. But I'll give you this much information. He instructed His disciples to wait for the promise of the Father. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to Me to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit is given so that we have the power and the ability to help carry out this great task that we are given. Now, there are the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. How are they alike? How do they differ? I'm going to invite you to come this afternoon. If I told you everything this morning, I wouldn't have anything left to tell you this afternoon. But just as the fruit of the Spirit in the life of the Christian is a reflection of the character of Christ, so in the Christian ministry, it is carried out through the gifts of the Spirit as the Spirit replicates Christ's work through us day by day. How do we obtain the spiritual gifts? I've got that for you this afternoon. Well, what are these different gifts? Well, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12 and Ephesians 4 and other places through Scripture, some of those that are listed are apostleship, prophecy, teaching, evangelism, pastoring, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discerning of spirits, tongues, the interpretation of tongues, giving, ministry or helps, exhortation, administration, mercy, hospitality, and there's a blank there because I believe there are more as the Holy Spirit sees the need. The Holy Spirit is the missing part in the life of the church all too often. We need Him to fill us. There is a promise that is given to us. Luke 11:13. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit, or give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? We must ask. This would certainly be a case where James said, we have not because we ask not. We need to ask for the Holy Spirit. He is available. He is more willing to be poured out and evident in our lives than we can begin to understand. Speaking about Jesus, but also applicable to us, He gave not the Spirit by measure. It would be one thing if we had 3 gallons of water. Is there anybody thirsty here? I see somebody with a bottle of water over there. I'm thirsty. It'd be one thing if we had 3 gallons of water and each person got 7.5 ounces. I am sure there are some who are thirsty for more than that. Some will be satisfied with a sip walking past a drinking fountain. The Holy Spirit is not rationed out to us. He is given without measure. All that we can take, if all we bring to Him is a thimble for filling, and that's all we ask, He'll give us that. But wow, how we're missing out. If we bring a cup, and we sing that song, Fill My Cup, Lord, we're still selling Him short. We need to bring Him our whole lives. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me. He is willing to not only fill us, but to overflow us and bless everyone around us. If we will only let Him, if we will only ask Him. That's what He wants to do. That's why I want to talk with you about His gifts to us this afternoon and what that will mean in our lives. Now, I know you're going to want some other filling. You're going to want that water. You're going to want something that's on the stove back there. We'll let you have that before we talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit through His gifts. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, I pray that You will give us such a thirst for You and Your Holy Spirit that we will be continually, continually reaching with our open cup, our open gallon, our open hearts, that You may fill us up and overflow us. Don't let us be satisfied with the meager supply we have sought before. Help us to make ourselves available for the Holy Spirit to use us fully. In Jesus' name, Amen.